Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
A superficial perioneal nerve, deep perioneal nerve, tibial nerve, saphenous nerve, sciatic nerve, obturator nerve, genitofemoral nerve, suncostal nerve, radial nerve, cerebellum. Is that what you'd think of when I said the word body? Probably not. But the nervous system is absolutely critical to the proper functioning of our human bodies. Perhaps when you hear that word body, you might think of celebrities. A little bit of nip and tuck here, there. Maybe a little bit of nip and tuck everywhere. We can make some very unusual connections with everyday words. And if we hear a word over and over again, we run the risk of glossing over the depth of meaning of that word. So each Sunday here at 8 o'clock, before we take communion, we proclaim we are the body of Christ. How do these words resonate in our soul? Do they become just words that are sort of repetition? Or are they words that bring a sense of wonder, of celebration? Do those words, we are the body of Christ, do they contain with them encouragement? Do they contain a challenge? Do they even indicate adventure in our lives? We are the body of Christ. And what about the Apostle John's opening words in his Gospel? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Each Christmas, I increasingly pause and consider afresh the wonder of the incarnation, that God has come in a body in motion. Because Christianity is material. Jesus had a body, and Jesus has a body. The Jews, unlike the Greeks, had absolutely no concept of bodies and spirits separated. For the Greeks, for God to be a human, for God to be mixed up with matter, was absolutely unthinkable. In fact, their view was that was disgusting. And for God to suffer, that was just simply a contradiction in terms. Biblical Christianity is very material. It's not like Eastern religions where the worldview is that a person ultimately loses their personality and loses their form. God creates a material cosmos. He creates men and women, and he pronounces them to be actually the crown of that creation. God comes as a man. He comes to redeem, he comes to fix up, he comes to renew a creation that has totally lost its way. So what's the big deal about Jesus? Why Jesus? Sir William Willimon, in his book Why Jesus, says, Jesus is God Almighty daring to get physical. God with a body. It's astounding when you think about it. God with a body. And after the resurrection, Jesus appears to many people, and the appearances were literally staggering. Jesus was the one who made himself recognizable to those who belonged to him. You remember Mary Magdalene? Magdalene, she thought that the man outside the tomb was a gardener, until Jesus said, Mary. And she went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord, in John chapter 20. And then on that Sunday evening, Jesus just appears. He just appears in a room where the disciples were together. And just appears even though the doors were locked, as John also records in the 20th chapter. But this very different body, this very transformed body, still actually wore the marks of the crucifixion. The disciples go fishing. They head up to Galilee. And like my fishing, they caught absolutely nothing. And they were at it all night, and these were professional fishermen. And early in the morning, a man on the shore calls out, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" And he tells them to throw their nets on the right side of the boat, and what happens? This mega catch. And then John, the disciple, realizes that the man on the shore is the Lord. And he says, "It is the Lord." And the Lord has prepared a barbecue breakfast for them. He chats with them. He eats with them. That is some resurrected body. And then just before Jesus ascends to the Father in a glorified body, he meets his disciples on a mountain just near Galilee. And this is what he says to them. "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus, in a glorified body, returns to the right hand of the Father. It's the place of all power and authority. And then the Holy Spirit is sent from the Father and the Son. For what purpose? So that Jesus' body can be everywhere. Turn in 1 Corinthians, if you would, to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And listen to how the Apostle Paul describes this stunning development. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. "The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." And then down to verse 26. "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." 27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." The more you think about these words, ponder them, chew on them, the more amazing they are. Jesus' widely dispersed body exists throughout the whole world. You are the body of Christ. Paul is saying that Christ has many diverse parts of his body, and we are it. And as Willimon says, we're actually all in this together. Paul says, there is only one body. And in the Creed, in the Apostles' Creed, we read, "We believe in the Holy Catholic Church." Why are we one? Is it because we're just in violent agreement with one another? Is it just because we actually like oneness? Why are we one? We're one because we've got just one Lord, and that one Lord loves bringing people together. How does the world actually meet Jesus? It meets Jesus through his body, through us, with all of our failings and our shortcomings. That is, the connection between Jesus and his body is absolutely intense. We are the body of Christ. Remember the murderer Saul? He's on the road to Damascus and he's heading up there to persecute more followers of Jesus. And Jesus confronts him on the road and drills him and says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" What's Jesus saying? He's saying, if you mess with the church, if you mess with my body, you mess with me. Intense corporate relationship. the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. Not just that he's with us, but that he's in us. But we know our failings. I know mine. We know our shortcomings. And each follower of the Lord Jesus is on a journey, and it's a journey with an end point, but actually the end point is really a beginning point. We're on a journey to a point of complete salvation. When we enter the Lord's presence, when the tent of this body gets too torn to keep going, then our soul is perfected in the Lord's presence. And the words of the same creed tell us that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead will one day raise us also with spiritual bodies. That is, each follower of Jesus is on a journey, and the church, the body of Christ, is on a journey. It's got very obvious faults, but it's Christ's body, and one day this body, also described as the bride of Christ, will actually be presented before Christ, and it will be completely perfected. It will be pure white, and the union between God and his people will be fully consummated. So let's not let the words, "we are the body of Christ," become so familiar that they lose their stunning meaning, that they lose their extraordinary implications. But it's more than just implications, isn't it? The reality is we are the body of Christ, and therefore let's simply live out that reality. That we are his arms reaching to reach out to others. We're his hands to be used as instruments of healing. We're his words for teaching. We are the body. Our feet, his feet, need to be going. Our love, his love, must show a broken world that there is a way and that Jesus is the way. Let's reflect on that as we hear this great song by Casting Crowns, "If We Are the Body."
As she slips in, trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't why are